from the Mercy One Studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Thursday morning from the Mercy One Studios in West Des Moines. I'm Deacon Mike Mano. I'm here with Gina Noel. Gina, how are you?
I'm well this morning.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
We have a good show, don't we?
I think so, right. Yeah, we have a couple of good guests, and they're very topical.
They are. I've seen quite a bit of news about at least our second guest, for sure, the bishop's meeting, which kind of overlaps with United States policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I've got some, I think, good questions or observations for Brian when we talked to him.
Yeah, they did a survey of church-going Catholics, not self-identified
just,
Catholics, right. But those who actually attend Mass on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And they have certain opinions about what the bishop should do and about what the Eucharist means to them.
Those Catholics that were surveyed,
That's right. And so it's going to be interesting listening to what Brian has to say about it. And there's been several articles written about it. And somewhere I think I've got a copy of the questions and answers that they had and the percentages. And so,
And since we booked Brian and after his survey, we've gotten a letter from 54 Democratic representatives in the U.S. Congress who have their opinion about the bishop's meeting.
Some of them are threatening to cut off the church's tax-exempt status if they don't allow these pro-abortion Catholics to take communion, which is backwards of what the First Amendment is supposed to do. It's supposed to protect the church from the government, not the government from the church.
We must be doing our work as Catholics if we...
Hubris. I found that letter was full of hubris, that they're deciding that they can tell the bishops how the bishops can run the church. And sadly, our own Representative Sidney Axne, whose website says she is a active member of Sacred Heart Parish in West Des Moines, was one of the signatories of that.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. And I read that letter with great concern because the use of language, the change in meanings of words I once thought I knew, was phenomenal. They tried to justify their sinfulness, really.
Right. Tried to justify child killing is what they tried. That's the bottom line.
With fancy words. Anyway, it'll be interesting to include that in our discussion with Brian since that survey.
And then the first guest we're going to have, Leah Patterson of First Liberty.
Speaking of the IRS.
Of the IRS, yeah. She is representing a Christian group in Texas that applied for tax-exempt status and was turned down because the IRS, in its wisdom, decided that their biblical worldview was too Republican, basically.
Deja vu, maybe, from the Obama administration and the Tea Party? Yeah, I think it sounds very familiar. I'll be anxious to hear how that's going to progress and how it'll affect future organizations filing for nonprofit
status.
We need
really to get on our knees and to invoke the aid of heaven. That's why we end with the prayer to St. Michael every week, because we're in a battle down here, and the forces of evil, the forces of darkness are coming after us.
Very true. And quite frankly, the most important prayer, I think, or at least I've felt that in my heart this week, is a prayer for the Pope. He's in a tough spot, and he has quite a flock that's very diverse, and I think these issues are hard for him to navigate.
Yeah, and also our bishops.
Because
they're torn apart. They're literally torn apart. There are some bishops that want to go one way, some bishops want to go another. There's a third group of bishops that just says, I don't want to hear about it. You know, let it go. Don't poke the bear, you know. And we need some unity in the church. And we need bishops that are unified and that will stand up for the doctrines of the faith,
mm-hmm.
especially against threats from wayward congressmen.
Yes, in our government, yes. Mm-hmm. Our leaders, so-called leaders. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so speaking of prayer for these fine individuals, yes, let's begin with a prayer for peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world, peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred, strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among the nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gina. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. We'll be back in about 3 minutes with Leah Patterson from First Liberty on the IRS's denial of a Christian group's tax-exempt status application.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmentinternational.org. That's blessmentinternational.org. Thank you, Blessment International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we are here now with Leah Patterson. Leah, nice to have you back again. We've had you on many times before, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Pleasure to be with you.
Want to talk to you about this group that you've been representing, Christians Engaged, I think is the name of the group. And they were trying to get a tax-exempt status, and they failed.
Well, they failed so far. Well, here's what's going on. Christians Engaged is a Christian nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that exists to educate and empower everyday Christians to pray for our nation and elected officials, to vote in every election, and to be civically engaged. So they applied for tax-exempt status under 501c3, you know, that's for religious, educational, charitable organizations, in late 2019 was when they did that application. But the IRS denied it last month, claiming that it was political campaign intervention to, and I'm quoting, educate believers on national issues that are central to their belief in the Bible as the inerrant word of God. And the IRS's letter went on to explain that, quote, Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. So that's why they deny Christians Engaged tax-exempt status, and we are working to appeal that determination.
I'm wondering if the IRS sees anything in the Bible that relates to what the Democratic Party stands for. I mean, the suggestion is that one party is a biblical party and the other party is not.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that the IRS doesn't really have the authority to make determinations like that. That's a religious determination. And at the end of the day, this decision would operate to exclude many religious nonprofits from tax-exempt status. So that's religious discrimination and violation of the Constitution. So that's something that the IRS doesn't have the power to do.
Right. And we've seen this before during the Obama administration, where at least conservative groups were getting the heave-ho by the IRS.
Yeah, that's right. Back in 2013, there was an extensive Inspector General report detailing how the IRS was discriminating against conservative religious organizations.
And Lois Lerner got to retire with, I guess, full retirement benefits from the IRS after harassing these people for so long.
Well, I think she would probably be proud of the current IRS.
That's saying a lot. All right, so what is your next step?
All right, so we are working through the IRS's administrative appeal process first. That's what we have to do. And then, you know, they could see the error of their ways and change their mind, and we would be more than happy with that. But if not, if that appeal process fails, then we'll be headed to federal court.
Has there been a shift in viewpoint of the IRS over these things during the past couple of years since the Obama administration, and it's changing now? Is that what you see, or have you do you have enough data to even make that observation?
I don't have enough data to make that observation, but I can say that this instance is pretty shocking, and people can read the letter for themselves on our website at firstliberty.org.
Yeah, firstliberty.org, and it's the letter and the follow-up letter, the letter that you sent back, is also there.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, you said you made this application back in 2019. It's now basically 2 years later, almost 2 years later. What takes these things so long?
Oh, well, that is a mystery known only to the IRS, I'm afraid.
Okay.
There's been some talk about the Biden administration, or President Biden himself has talked about doubling the number of employees at the IRS to, you know, get educate. Anyway, to take care of all of these kinds of problems and enforce the IRS regulations more heavily. Do you have some sense that this is the kind of thing they're going to come after? Are these religious and conservative nonprofits?
Well, you know, I don't know what they intend to do, but I can say that this principle that the IRS seems to be adopting in this letter, that Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party, if that principle is applied broadly, then it could endanger tax-exempt status for many religious organizations and potentially even churches. So that's where we're concerned and why we're getting involved in this case.
So during the 2013 and the scandal with the IRS and Lois Lerner targeting and denying nonprofit status to the conservative organizations, there were hearings in the Congress, I believe the Judiciary Committee and some maybe Oversight Committee. Did they make any kinds of rulings or tell the IRS, give them any kind of guidance that says, you know, you can't do this again, that would be helpful for Christians Engaged?
Well, I believe that there were a number of court cases that worked through as a result of that issue, and we'll certainly be relying on all the precedent we have at our disposal. We're hopeful, because in this situation, the IRS contradicted its own regulations, which actually protect the ability of 501c3s to teach their policy positions they just can't go around endorsing candidates, for example. And so we're pretty confident that we have a strong case.
The first thing that came to mind when I read about this story and about the IRS targeting this organization for Republican philosophies is that I do know that there are nonprofit organizations that have status currently that are heavily involved in Democrat politics. Perhaps two that came to mind were Planned Parenthood and the National Education Association. How do they balance those kinds of dichotomies?
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like they are balancing them insofar as if they're going to deny tax-exempt status to an organization they view as having more Republican ideas, then that seems to be a form of viewpoint discrimination when there are many organizations that do similar activity to Christians Engage. They're nonpartisan, working to engage people to fulfill their civic duty. And based on the text of that letter, what's happening is they're discriminating against Christians Engaged because of their biblical viewpoint, and that is not consistent with constitutional protections for free speech and free religious exercise.
The letter says that your organization is serving the private interests of the Republican Party more than incidentally in contrivance of Treasury regulations such and such. How do they determine that you're serving the interest of the Republican Party? I mean, what is it that that they're claiming your organization is doing that is something that they can object to?
Well, you know, all of those determinations, you know, what is a private interest versus a public interest are governed by some rather Byzantine revenue rulings and regulations. But the overall gist of it is that the IRS has to look at an organization's methods. So are they educating the public on, let's say, in a way that you know, fits certain criteria that the regulations lay out? That's one of the tests that they have to apply. And in doing that, they're not supposed to be looking at the organization's beliefs and perspectives. They're supposed to be looking at what they do. And the letter did not do that. So that's one of our arguments that the IRS failed to follow its own requirements for making those determinations.
Now, what is it exactly then that your organization does do so we can kind of cut through the fog here with this?
Sure. So Christians Engaged does several things. The first is that they work to encourage Christians to pray for their nation and elected officials. So they will speak in churches, discuss what the Bible says about civic engagement, about civic duty, and encourage Christians to research the scriptures on their own to understand what they believe about the major national issues that are going on, and they encourage them as Christians, as part of their faith and practice, to vote in every election as their civic duty. But what they don't do is they don't say go vote for Bob. So they're not telling them
how to vote, right?
Right.
They're just telling them to educate yourself on what you believe, and then apply those principles to your decision.
Right. Exactly.
Which the IRS apparently finds to be forbidden.
Well, that's what the letter seems to say for reasons that we disagree with.
Yeah. Now, I understand why you can't answer some of these questions because you can't figure out what's going through these people's minds. Do you know, I guess it's Stephen Martin, who is the director of the exempt organizations. Do you know anything about him? Is he somebody that is a wild-eyed liberal or an atheist or something like that is using his position to attack religious organizations?
Now, what's his association with Lois Lerner, really?
Yeah.
Well, he is, from what I understand, he holds the same position that she did when she was in office. As to his personal beliefs, I really couldn't say, but all I can do is read the letter he signed.
Well, he certainly seems to be following in her footsteps.
Well, as I said, I think she'd be proud of the what's going on.
Well, I don't want to put any words in your mouth and get you into more trouble with the IRS than your client might already be. But all right, so what is the step? Now, you've got an administrative appeal, and you've started that, I guess. How does that work?
So how that works is that will go to an independent office within the IRS, and they will give it another review, basically. And then if they decide, they'll decide one way or another, either to grant or deny the tax-exempt status recognition. And at that point, if they grant it, we're good to go.
Okay.
If they deny it, then we'll be moving to federal court to challenge that decision.
Okay, now is that a move into an appellate court immediately, or do you have to start at a district court? Because the administrative rules are a little different depending on who you're suing.
They are, but in this case, it's a district court.
Okay. Now, are you protected by any provisional ruling, provisional approval of a tax-exempt status while this is pending?
No.
Okay. So literally, you can raise money, but the people who donate the money can't get the tax credit for it.
That's my general understanding, although if we ultimately prevail, then the tax-exempt determination would be retroactive to the date of their application in 2019.
Okay. All right. So they can still raise money and with the disclaimer that the tax-exempt status is applied for.
That's my understanding.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. One of the things that I recognized when I read about this organization, the IRS has granted nonprofit status to other organizations that are very similar.
The family leader right here
right,
in town
family
is
leader.
Very similar to
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. What about the Congressional Prayer Caucus? Very similar.
Well, they just vote themselves money.
Right. Who would? The IRS doesn't want to get themselves in trouble with elected officials. So it's surprising to me that, based on precedent, they picked this fight with this particular organization, Christians Engaged.
Well, what their letter says is pretty shocking, I think. I don't know. I can't really elaborate on it. It stands on its own.
Yeah.
I
can't figure out what they're doing other than saying that biblical values are Republican values, and so...
So if you're
a Republican organization then.
So if the courts uphold this ruling by the IRS and this organization, could it put in jeopardy other organizations' current nonprofit status?
I think it could. If that principle that Bible teachings are Republican and teaching them amounts to campaign intervention, then applied broadly, yes, it could.
Okay. Now, you're with First Liberty, and I assume that you are following some of the things the other nonprofit legal groups are doing, like ADF and Pacific Justice and that. Are you aware that any of the others are having a similar problem with groups that they represent?
I am not aware offhand.
Okay. All right.
We're just a few months into this administration. Just hold on. I'm sure we'll see some more, especially if it mirrors the Biden administration's policies and rulings.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. They rolled in the wrecking ball from the first day, I think. And
yeah, exactly. I know we have another guest coming on later in the show that will be discussing the USCCB's letter of information on the Eucharist and the importance of the Eucharist, and it has stirred up some political consternation.
Animus. Yeah.
Right, by some of our elected officials in Congress. And now they're suggesting, talking about tax-exempt status, they're talking about removing tax-exempt status for the Catholic Church entirely. Have you seen any of that in your work at First Liberty.
Well, say that I have not seen that personally yet, but it's the same principle as in the case with Christians Engaged. So I would be interested to see that play out, because at the end of the day, a church has the right and ability to teach and enforce its doctrinal statements on its members. That is a core right under the Establishment and Free Exercise Clauses of the First Amendment. So that would be a very interesting case, and I think it would follow from what is happening to Christians Engaged.
Yeah. And so that's the main theory behind this tax-exempt status. You know, how our First Amendment rights carry over into the regulated duties of the IRS under this particular status.
Yeah, and what they're doing here is they're saying that if you are a philanthropic organization, or your teaching organization, or you're, you know, providing other works for the common good, that you can become tax exempt. Obviously, that helps you with your fundraising and everything when you can do that. But what they're telling us in this letter that seems to speak nothing other than gobbledygook is that this organization, because their worldview seems, or their biblical view seems to align more with the Republican Party, and apparently not at all with the Democratic Party, if you read the letter, that they can't get the tax-exempt status, which is rather shocking to me.
Is that one of the stipulations of a nonprofit status, is to have no political activities?
No. You can do what Leah's saying that they're doing here. You can have your political education, you know, this is what's going on, these are, but you can't necessarily go out and advocate for a particular side or a particular candidate. That's where the line usually is drawn. I think that's right. Leah, is that right?
Yes, I'd say so. Basically, what the IRS regulations and the law itself says is that 501c3s can have positions and advocate for their positions on public policy issues, even controversial ones, as long as they're not going around endorsing candidates or campaigning for them.
Right, and seeing that's exactly what the family leader does here. They teach their biblical worldview, and they actually go up and they have a day or two at the legislature where they'll meet with legislators. They'll pray with them. They'll pray over them. But they're not telling them how to vote, but they're telling them what their issues are that they believe in. But it's purely nonpartisan. And it sounds like this is exactly what this organization is trying to do, the same thing that Family Leader is doing here. And Family Leader has had a tax-exempt status for some time now. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting for them to come after our churches now.
Sounds like
We will see what happens. And if anyone is encountering a similar issue, they should reach out to us at firstliberty.org.
Very good. And they can follow what's going on at that website, and they can also make tax-exempt donations to you.
Yeah,
if you need it, since all your work that you do for people is pro bono.
That's correct, yes.
Very good. Well, Leah, I want to thank you for joining us again today. It's always a pleasure to have you. This thing mystifies me, mainly because of the questions that we ask we can't get answers for, because you don't know them. They didn't make them available to you. Their thinking is, if it's in this letter that they sent to you, it's really no thinking at all. It's just, you're bad and we're not going to do it. But anyway, we'll follow up and see how this goes, and we'll look forward to having you back with a successful outcome here.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Leah Patterson, who is legal counsel with First Liberty Institute. This is Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. We will be back right after these messages with Brian Birch, who's president of Catholic Vote.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. We have plenty of rain on the way with low pressure moving through. Showers and thunderstorms for the afternoon. Some of those storms could have large hail and damaging wind with our high today in the upper 80s. Cloudy overnight, more showers and thunderstorms and down to 70. Good chance of rain tomorrow and 85. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
And we're back. We have Brian Birch with us, who is president of Catholic Vote. Brian, thank you for joining us today. We certainly appreciate having you.
Great to be with you.
We had a poll recently, which talks about the bishops and communion and things like that. Why don't we get right into that? Because the bishops have been handling this issue of do we give communion to Catholic politicians who support abortion and whatever, and that's been in the news lately. And you've got some answers from your poll to what church-going Catholics think about that.
That's exactly right. Going into the bishops' meeting, which of course occurred last week, we thought it important to go into the public with a poll that would ascertain the views of church-attending Catholics. You know, there's a lot of polling that's done in politics or among religious believers, and quite often, especially when it comes to Catholics, because we are a rather diverse church, let's just put it that way, they take the generic Catholic, someone who still calls themselves Catholic. They may not have been to Mass anytime recently, may not attend Mass whatsoever anymore, and they may largely disagree with the church entirely, and yet that person's opinion is counted as co-equal. So we chose to interview and poll Mass-attending Catholics, and the criteria was someone that attends Mass at least once a month or weekly. So someone who goes to church every Sunday. And for us, those Catholics are people who clearly still practice the faith. They typically are raising their kids in the faith. They contribute to their parish in a higher percentage and, of course, participate in church ministries and such. And the poll actually was very surprising in the numbers. And what we found was that overwhelming majorities of Mass-attending Catholics want their bishops to lead. They want their bishops to speak up, even on difficult questions. They want the bishops to teach the truths of the faith, no matter if they're unpopular. And of course, the more headline numbers were 84% of Mass-attending Catholics believe that a public official who disagrees with the church on a grave or serious matter creates confusion and disunity. And then finally, 74% of those Mass-attending Catholics believe that a Catholic public official who creates confusion and disunity by disagreeing with their church on a grave or serious matter should not present themselves for communion.
That seems to be overwhelming on both those points.
I read
it
from
is
that.
Over.
I read from that that Catholics who go to Mass are interested in saving their souls. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what that sounds like to me. And not only their souls, but all souls.
I would agree, and I think that's certainly the motivation. It certainly suggests that Catholics who go to church better understand what the church teaches about the Eucharist. But I think one of the important things here is we didn't ask the question, for example, should Joe Biden be denied communion? Because that's going to be a lot more controversial, and it introduces kind of the political framework into the question. And that's precisely not the way the church looks at this question.
But I want to
not about.
I want to point out that the survey did ask these particular church-going Catholics who they voted for in the election. And they were evenly divided, much like the country, 49% Biden, 50%, 51%, I'm sorry, the other way around, 51%
Biden.
Depending
on how frequent you went to church.
Yeah. Right. And 49% for Donald Trump. But the approval rating amongst these Catholics was like 56%, you know, really at the national average for President Biden. So
that's right.
It's not like they have an
approved of Joe Biden's how he's doing. Correct.
Right. So my point is they don't they're not against him, even though they believe that or you say they might believe that he should be admonished for his or not present himself for communion.
Yeah, I have no doubt if we would have asked the question, should Joe Biden be denied communion, it would not have been as high as it was if we asked. And that, of course, is because once you introduce the political question into it and people have partisan loyalties and they have different personal feelings about different people. But again, this is not how the church approaches the question. The church approaches it from an objective standpoint. What is objectively happening here when you have a public official, it doesn't matter what party they are, it doesn't matter how sympathetic they are as a person, who aggressively promotes, and as the language of the church would be, obstinately persists in manifest grave sin, that person should not present themselves for communion unless and until they receive the sacrament of confession or repent of this, and certainly discontinue seeking to promote a grave moral evil.
Right.
And so I think it's really important for people to understand that what the bishops are doing is not engaging in some political exercise. What they're doing is trying to protect what we believe to be the source and summit of our faith.
You know, I noticed that in the breakdown of the people that you talked to, they broke down almost evenly between Republican, Democrat, and Independent. I think it was 30% Republican, 35 Independent, and 35 Democrat. And on the ideology, where they're asking, are you generally conservative, moderate, or liberal, they break down a little bit the same way, too. So you had a wide spectrum of political beliefs contained in this survey, but yet the church-going Catholics are basically, as I read it, saying, look, bishops, you have to lead us in these moral decisions and in what is correct and what we should do. And they're not looking at it necessarily from a political viewpoint, but they're looking at it from a teaching viewpoint and a leadership viewpoint with the bishops. You know, say something, you know, make this clear for us.
I think that's exactly right. And I think this is exceptionally important because I think one of the biggest phony arguments being made right now is that somehow if the bishops choose to act, that millions of Catholics will flee the church because they'll be so disappointed in them, you know, targeting or weaponizing the Eucharist, as some on the one side of the debate are claiming. I think the opposite is true for exactly what you just suggested. So many Catholics are thirsting for leadership and clarity from their bishops. And I think the bishops actually have put themselves really in a bad spot over the last several decades by allowing this problem to get as bad as it's become, and to where now it's considered somehow scandalous and a huge news item for them to say, no, we actually mean what we teach, and we expect those who call themselves Catholic, let alone call themselves a devout Catholic, to actually abide and respect, and that those public officials who are publicly advocating for, let's call it what it is, the destruction of millions of innocent human lives every year in America, and furthermore calling for Catholics to be coercively compelled to pay for this crime against humanity, that they can no longer hold themselves to be in communion with the Church, and should not as a way of punishing them, but as a way of trying to restore them to full communion with the Church. They should not receive the Eucharist.
And it's also allowed some people to demagogue on this whole thing about talking about taking away the Church's tax-exempt status and things like that. And that was... go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. We have some members of Congress that can't control themselves and kind of lash back at the Church, that somehow, if the Church decides to regulate its own internal believers, that therefore the government should punish us for this. It's rather ironic. These are the same people, by the way, that regularly call for the separation of Church and state. And then when the Church decides to do something that only applies to Catholic, that it's voluntary if you want to be a part of our Church, no one forces you to become a Catholic, that somehow then they say, well, the government needs to invade the boundaries of the Church and can compel it and punish it for doing what it's trying to do.
And that's exactly the opposite of what the First Amendment is supposed to protect. It's protecting the Church from the government, not the other way around.
That's exactly it. And it's good you mentioned that. So many times we get that wrong. The purpose of the First Amendment is to protect us from the government, not to protect the government from the Church.
And this letter, this statement of principle that I guess about 60 members of Congress who are Catholic, Democrats who are Catholic and pro-abortion, wrote to the, to the bishops, their statement of principle. I guess it's supposed to sway the bishops. But it says something to the effect that the sacrament of Holy Communion is central to the life of practicing Catholics, and the weaponization, their words, of the Eucharist to Democratic lawmakers for their support of a woman's safe and legal access to abortion is contradictory. So I think they've laid it right out there. This is they're telling us that the Church is weaponizing the Eucharist.
Yeah, they don't think they had the intended effect that they hoped for there. These 60 Democratic members of Congress wrote this letter and essentially said, yes, we acknowledge that the Eucharist is critically important. It's central to our faith, and yet we will not budge one bit on the very issue that's driving this, which is our unmitigated support for the destruction of innocent life. And so that's certainly not helping make the case, I suppose, that somehow the bishops should not be acting when they're making more clear about their, again, obstinance and persistence on this grave sin.
Yeah, and what they're suggesting then is since you're doing this, you're weaponizing the Eucharist, we're going to punish you. We're going to use the force of the government to punish you by taking away your tax-exempt status.
Yeah, then the question becomes, who's weaponizing what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, we can leave it right there. Who's weaponizing what? Let people make up their own mind, because I think most people that listen to this program will come to that, the right conclusion. Go ahead.
Right. So Catholic Vote, your organization, is perfectly aligned with this particular issue as it develops, because your mission is to have Catholics or help Catholics in America live out truths of the faith in public life. What a better... example of what we need. And what is CatholicVote.org doing during this bishop's writing of their explanation towards the importance of the Eucharist?
Sure. You're exactly right. The mission of Catholic Vote is to help Catholics and inspire them and educate them and encourage them, and sometimes push them if we need be where we can to live out the truths of our faith in public life. And that certainly, when it comes to the President of the United States, is especially true because he's a Catholic, but it's true for every Catholic. Every believing Catholic in this country has the same responsibility, not less because they're not the president. We're all equal, no matter our station in life, to live out and to obey these truths. And so our job as Catholic Vote is to try to encourage those people. We have a whole set of things to do that, from educational materials to videos to the polling, of course, different efforts we're making with bishops themselves to try to give them both information about what we're seeing in our own research, but also giving them the courage. I think one of the challenges our bishops have is all the kind of major secular institutions are on the attack against them right now and mischaracterizing what they're doing. And they need to hear from Catholics in the pews and the everyday Catholics who go to church and who keep our churches open and thriving about what we want.
And they deserve our prayers, too, because they're in a tough time right now.
Absolutely. That's 100% right. We need to be praying every day for our church leaders. This is as much a spiritual war as anything.
And people can find out more about what you do from CatholicVoteAllOneWord.org. Is that correct?
That's correct. The best way to keep up with what we're doing is we have a simple daily morning newsletter that's probably the most popular thing we have called The Loop.
The Loop, yeah.
You can stay in the loop and just go to our website, CatholicVote.org, and sign up for The Loop, and you'll start to see all the things we're doing.
And I believe while people are there, they can still make donations to you, too.
Those are always welcome. We're not getting support from the bishops or the church. We're funded entirely, we say, powered by the pews. So people in the pews are helping make our work possible.
Brian, we appreciate everything you do for the church and for God. And I would recommend that website. And I get The Loop every day. And it is very interesting read. Sign up for it if you can, because it'll keep you up to date with what's going on.
And this survey or polling is on the website.
Right.
And I think it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. Look at the questions that were asked and see how people responded. But anyway, Brian, thank you very much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll have you back and see how things are going.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Certainly. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be right back to wrap up in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? 5 Cents Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. 5 Cents Naturescapes online at 5centsnaturescapes.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Faith on Trauma on Catholic Radio. Gina, another very interesting show. We try to do interesting shows, and sometimes we fall into them.
How much I love numbers. So right, yeah. This, when CatholicVote.org did this survey of church-going Catholics, I was interested in how that broke down. And I think it's interesting that so many of them, political affiliations aside, really are in favor of saving souls. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, didn't matter what party they were affiliated with or what candidates they were supporting, they were in favor of our bishops doing the hard work, which only encourages me to pray more for mm-hmm. the bishops, because this will be difficult.
Well, and
public opinion is against them.
I think what the survey shows is that the church-going Catholic, not just anybody on the street that attended
Catholic school once
and now says they're Catholic, but the faithful Catholics, the ones that are there all the time, they're begging for leadership on this. They're asking, in this poll, they're asking the bishops, make it clear to us, make it clear to everybody what it is about this Eucharist that we need to know and we need to be clear on.
Well, and you say that, but I looked it up a little bit in the break. The Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly identifies right. the Eucharist and all of its powers and all of its meaning. Why do we need a letter from the bishops?
Because people aren't reading the Catechism. And, of course, as we found out in the last 40 years or so, we've not been very well catechized.
So this is a teaching moment by the bishops to help us understand the catechism mm-hmm. and the Catholic teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a further clarification, almost like an education. And have bishops done this before on other matters?
On other matters they have. I think during the 50s and 60s, when the issue of racial discrimination was in the forefront oftentimes, the bishops were speaking pretty clearly about that. I could be wrong. I was not conscious of all of that was going
at
on
that
in the
time,
50s,
sure.
But from what I remember, yeah.
The Catechism also talks about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that comes to mind in this education on the Eucharist reminds me of Pope John Paul's theology of the body and the teachings
mm-hmm.
Behind that. I wonder if Eucharistic institutes will pop up around the country, much like theology of the body institutes, to help us continue to learn after the bishops do a good clarification for all of us.
Yeah, and I hope they do. And, of course, then going back to Leah Patterson from First Liberty, this matter with the IRS, here's the result of our secular society right now, is that they're looking at this group that is going to be somewhat like Catholic Vote or like the family leader here. They're trying to educate their members as to what their biblical worldview says. And there's, if you read through some of the other materials that we have at our disposal, we weren't able to get them all on the air, but they're doing charitable things as well. But because their biblical views don't line up with how the IRS is looking at this, they can't have their tax-exempt status. And I think it is clear that what the IRS or this individual from the IRS is saying is that if you've got a biblical worldview, you got to be a Republican. And what's not said there is because the other side doesn't have a biblical worldview. I mean, that's the implication you can take from the letter.
Right. It's
not true. I mean, there are many good Democrats out there that are faithful Catholics and Christians.
And it seems to me that a letter like that written, given the fact that the IRS has had trouble in the past with these kinds of misuses of their authority, that there would be some kind of oversight. Does the commissioner not see these things come out? How do we...
There was no oversight over Lois Lerner.
I know. You would have thought they'd change their policies, which says to me that before they add 87,000 new employees at the IRS, they need to do something to straighten out the regulations and guidelines of their current staff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. One thing before we go we should mention is that this is our last full hour-long program. Next week we start at 10 o'clock and go to 10:30 because we're making room in the schedule to have a Mass at 10:30, and that's coming as soon as they figure out all the technical issues involved. But so this will be the last time we'll be on for the full hour. But we are looking to start a podcast that will have we'll be able to put up
the additional material that we
other additional material that we might not be able to get in, and even
it's
more.
It's the alternative to our talking very fast on the radio to get all of our
information. That's right, because
in.
because we won't have a time limit for that, and we'll put we'll give you the notification of where you can find that when we get it started, and that's one of the things Gina and I are going to start talking about right after we close the program, which, by the way, we should, because it's about that time that we close with the prayer to St. Michael.
And we need to get that prayer.
And we really need this
yes,
prayer in today's society. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's it for today for Gene and myself. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Faith on Trial, although a shorter one.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back. And until then, have a blessed and peaceful week.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.